people are afraid today, afraid of death. They fear of death, they fear of life, fear of strangers, fear of terrorists, fear of people in general, fear of marriage, fear of a job, fear of life. So because of all these fears, people cannot cope, and they cope with drugs, with alcohol, to be able to mask off these phobias. And these are inabilities to cope because of the expulsion of the pure fear of God. Once we expel the fear of God that we're talking about all along, then all these phobias enter in. So the pitiful man now has to visit psychiatric clinics because of these phobias and because of guilt. Guilt is the basis of all psychiatric science. Guilt. Guilt produces fears and phobias. The result is hundreds of millions of people, according to the World Health Organization, about 300 million people have some kind of a psycho-emotional illness. And all these vanish, all these can vanish with the entrance of the fear of God. And psychiatry cannot help much. Why? Because they do not understand. They do not understand the nature of men. They use as a model the fallen nature of men. They have no clue what is the healthy model. The healthy model of a human being is Adam before the fall. So essentially, the only healthy people on this earth are the saints of the church. So they simply use the fallen nature and they begin to try different things which can be helpful, but they are not totally therapeutic, because guilt can only be eliminated from the grace of God, from forgiveness. And the fear of God can be expelled from genuine holy confession. Psalm 34 says, I believe we were reading this the other night, in the pre-sanctified service, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. The Lord, not the psychiatrist. The Lord said about this demonic fear, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, and after that, they can do nothing more. I'll tell you what to be afraid of. Be afraid of the one who, after you die, has the authority to place you in hell. Yes, this I tell you. This one you should fear. Fear God, because he's the only one that can put you in hell after you die. And we saw this in the three youths in the fire. When Nebuchadnezzar was telling him, look, you're not going to bow down. Do you know? Do you see that furnace over there? Now, is God going to spare you? Is your God going to spare you? King, if he wants to, he can. We don't know if he will or not. That's up to him. If he wants to spare us, he certainly can. But maybe because of our sins, he may not. But that's up to him. We will not listen to you because we fear God only. There's so many scriptures about this fear of the Lord, the fear of God. In the first epistle of Peter, in the second chapter, we read a tetrapod that could balance out society, could balance it out. Listen to this. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood, the Christian brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. All these four things makes for a beautiful society. Honor all people, small, big, young, old, rich, poor. Honor all people because they are created in the image of God. Honor all people as created by God. Love the brotherhood, especially brothers and sisters in Christ of the church. Fear God always. Honor the King. Also, we must not be afraid of nature. Our holy people were not afraid of nature. St. Ephrem the Syrian used to say, the universe can be turning upside down. I'm not afraid of a thing. I'm not afraid of a thing. The disciples were a little afraid before Pentecost. We're in the boat, and there were some rough seas. And this was a great lesson for them because the Lord needed to deflate them. You know, a few hours before that, Wayne, you know, they were the servants, because they were handing bread baskets out and bread to everybody, because the Lord just multiplied the five loaves and the seven fish or nine fish, and all of a sudden the disciples think, this is it, the time has come, we're going to be his assistants, he's going to take over soon, he's going to be the king. And a little bit of pride entered them. And now he says, and this is one situation, I think two times in the scriptures, the word exanangasiaftus, he forced them. The scripture says he forced them to get on a boat. He says, let's get away from here. Puts them in a boat, and then the Lord takes a nap. And now, all of a sudden, that egotism deflated. They became scared, afraid. Lord, Master, wake up. We are lost. We are lost. He says, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? You have little faith. Why are you afraid? Well, you wanted to be assistants to the king a few minutes ago. Now you're afraid, huh? Okay. But after Pentecost, Peter was not afraid. Paul was not afraid. You were not afraid. They were not afraid. Just like our saints are not afraid. We have examples of saints. You know, I mentioned that last week, I believe, that you know, they would see a lion in this small cave, or you know, in this small passage. And the monks would say, Elder, there's a lion. Doesn't matter. I'm not turning back. Walking straight through. The lions can sense. They can sense the holiness. They can sense the holiness. And they are as tame as a lamb. And we have some things like this in nature, and we see them in Greece and some other places. You know, we have some pilgrimages where there are snakes of the Virgin Mary in one of the islands, I believe Kefalinia. There's the snakes that only come out once a year for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And they are totally different. Their behavior is totally different than any other snakes in this country. Usually snakes run. When they see a human being, they're afraid. They run. These snakes act like pets. They come in the church. They get on the arms of the pilgrims. The little kids hold them and play with them. They get around their necks. They get around the icon of the Panagia. I believe we have a documentary on a video we had a couple of years ago. And, you know, these are remnants of God in nature to remind us how things were before the fall. But when we sin, the harmony was destroyed. In Proverbs, we read, let the fear of God envelop you all through your day. The fear of God should permeate your entire being. And besides him, be afraid of no one else. In other words, if you hold the fear of God, you will never be afraid of anybody else. Not even the Antichrist. lot of people are afraid of the Antichrist. What's going to happen? The Antichrist will come. Why? If we are afraid of God, we will not be afraid of anything else. Christ says, what's the worst that can happen to you? Put you to death? He told the disciples, do not be afraid of those that kill the body. St. Basil told one of the politicians that came to visit him, one of the people of the emperor, and says, no, I'm not going to obey. He says, aren't you afraid that we may defrock you? I'm not afraid. I'd love to go in the wilderness. Are you afraid that I will take your land? I don't have any. Your possessions? I don't have any. I only have a couple of books. That's all. Are you afraid that I may kill you? That would be great. I will be with God much faster. That's when they have perfect fear. Perfect fear puts out the fear of the demons, the phobias that we're talking about. In the Old Testament, we have one of the greatest martyrdoms, which is almost equal, it's practically equal to a New Testament martyrdom, that of the seven Maccabees, where Antiochus, the Epiphanes, was telling him, you know, that I will crucify you, I will cut you from limb to limb. He wanted him to eat pork. He wanted him to eat pork. Eleazar, their teacher, and the seven Maccabees. And one after the other, one by one, all these seven young men said, we are not afraid of you. We are not afraid of you. We're only afraid of God. And in that chapter, they even talk about the resurrection. The seven Maccabees. There's nothing greater than the fear of the Lord. We read in the Wisdom of Sirach, another book that we may not find in the Protestant Bibles, but you know we do have it in the Catholic Bibles, and also, of course, the Septuagint, which is the official Bible of the Orthodox Church, the translation of the 70, the Septuagint. That's the one that the apostles were studying from. In the Wisdom of Sirach, we read something that if we pay close attention to, we will save a lot of hospital bills. The one who sins against his creator will fall in the hands of the doctor. The one who sins against his creator will fall in the hands of the doctor. What a great truth this is. And this makes sense because the fear of the Lord makes for a joyous heart, a peaceful heart, eliminates all stress. So people would fear God, we would need as many doctors. Proverbs 10:27, we read, the fear of the Lord will add to your days. Again, when we don't have stress, when we don't have these phobias, when we are not anxious, and we have peace on a daily basis, no stress, of course we're going to live longer. We will live a long and stress-free life. If we have the fear of the Lord, which, by the way, is the fortress of the saints. The fortress of the saints is the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. And in Psalm 33, we read, behold, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. The eyes of the Lord are on the humble. Those that are afraid of God have a degree of humility. On whom should I look after but of the one of humble heart and the one who fears my words? And in the wisdom of Sirach, the fear of the Lord is like a paradise full of blessings. And let your boast be the fear of the Lord. And of course, this will keep us from all kinds of pitfalls. And in the psalm that we read in Presanctified yesterday at the very end, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. So those who fear the Lord have their guardian angel around them all the time. And there's no want to those who fear the Lord. Those that fear the Lord are carefree. Our society today, unfortunately, our Western society, wants to push this fear out. And in the place of this fear, we have placed laughter. Laughter was the cure for all medicine. Our society today embellishes laughter, comedy. Anything for a laugh, a joke. Stand-up comedies everywhere. Stand-up comics. Laughter, the medicine for the great void to mask off the emptiness, to insulate the godless soul from looking into the inside, to escape all these fears that the lack of fear of the Lord has been replaced with. This tendency to laugh constantly is entering today's American Orthodox pulpit. It's unfortunate, but we see it happening. When we need to start our sermons with a laugh. I think a month ago we were at a Divine Liturgy of Father Nicholas and we sat down, we're ready to talk. Dr. Phillips, and this lady from Philadelphia says, "Now I'm ready for a joke." And I said, "No, I'm not ready for a joke. I'm not ready for a joke. This is not the time." Ecclesiastes says there's a time to laugh. It's a time to cry. It's a time to plant. It's a time to pull out. It's a time for everything. I'm not saying that we shouldn't laugh. But when we are in the church, around the witnesses, the millions of witnesses of saints and angels, to start off the sermon with a laugh, to impress. This is humanistic. Because Protestantism wants the preachers to be performers. And now we are becoming performance conscious. We want to impress, to perform, to entertain, to make people laugh every few minutes. And again, this is following the trends of the humanistic orators. Let's see what the saints say about laughter. And at the end, we'll say what Christ says about laughter. Saint Dmitry of Rostov, a saint of our church, 1709. After he died, his body was intact, very miraculous. Do not be enticed by untimely and indiscreet laughter. The indiscreet laughter, the obnoxious laughter, squanders everything good from the soul. It distances the grace of the Lord. It kills the memory of death. Makes us oblivious to the fearful judgment. Freezes the zeal of struggle, darkens the conscience, saddens the angels, and gives joy to the demons. Laughter is the cause of rudeness, the producer of sin, the introducer to prodigality, the forerunner of every pitfall. Laughter is a characteristic of a hedonistic soul, proof of a cowardly and braveless soul. And St. John of the Ladder says, all those who mourn and jump into the pains and sufferings of the Christian life do not develop phobias. And then one who became a servant of the Lord fears only his master. And then one who did not come to the fear of the Lord is afraid of his own shadow. And the Lord, on the Sermon on the Mount, teaches us, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I will stop speaking at this point, and we'll have Father Michael or Dr. Phillips give us some insight on this difficult topic for the few minutes that we have.
Father Michael went to Cyprus and venerated with Matuska, the grave of St. Lazarus. And they say for Lazarus, the four-day resurrected friend of Christ, that he never laughed. After his resurrection, 30 years, but only once smiled when he saw someone stealing a vase.
Clay pot.
Clay pot. And he said, Anthropos, Homa clevi homa.
Opilos clevi tom bilo.
Clay is stealing clay. I mean, man was made by dust, clay, is stealing clay. It was the only time, once in his lifetime after his resurrection, that he smiled, but never laughed.
Never laughed.
And also they say for Christ, never laughed. Yeah. He was always serious, he cried, but never laughed. That's what St. Macarius the Great also, they say, he smiled another time. When visiting the city, he saw all this one demon sitting on the walls of the city and being able to manage in controlling all the people in the city. And then going back to the desert, he saw millions of demons trying to tempt and make to fall to sin 1 month. And he smiled at this vision. He said, millions of demons cannot be able to make a monk fall to sin. How great it is, the desert, developing man of God.
What I liked about your talk today is about the fear of God. Fear of God is something great that we should understand. Every divine liturgy we hear the words, with fear and with love and faith, draw near. As to the Holy Eucharist. But it's not the kind of fear you can't say, I'm scared. No. This fear is the word of great respect. Just as you say you fear a good father, a good mother, well, then you fear God in very much in the same manner. And we should not fear God that he's going to send us to hell. We ourselves our sins do that. God doesn't do this, in my opinion. The individual sends himself to hell. He had a choice in the very, 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 very beginning. He could follow the path of our Lord Jesus Christ, of God. He did not. He chose the other path, the path of the devil. But fearing God is great. Don't be scared of God, though. Just highly respect him. Because, and I repeat, the people that are going to go to hell, they're going to go to hell, not because God sent them over there, they send themselves over there because they cannot live with God. They have to be estranged from our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think it's a very, 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 very beautiful subject.
It's a very good. I believe a lot of the church fathers say that, and even Christ says that hell was created for the devil and his angels, his demons.
Not
created for people. That's not what hell was created for. However, the people that will follow the devil will be deluded by the devil. You know, it is their choice. So we totally agree on that. Yes, Professor.
I want to compliment you on this lecture. Very vital and important to the youth that they receive this message of the fear of the Lord. Because if our youth is instilled with this kind of fear of the Lord, it is going to keep them away from so many sins, and also it's a guide for their life. When they come up against a situation where they don't know exactly what to do, they always have this fear of the Lord instilled into them, so that they know that they should keep away from sin. So I think it's a very, very useful lesson.
Thank you, and we should have done this long time ago, but you know, that's exactly what the church fathers are saying. There's nothing greater than the fear of the Lord. As we mentioned, you know, Joseph, here's Joseph, 20 years old, very attractive. You know, the scriptures, he was very attractive, all by himself. He had every excuse in the book to sin. Well, here, it's a commandment from his mistress. I mean, he was a slave. He was not a free man, but he was free in his heart. Nobody can enslave us if we are free in our heart. She was a slave. He wasn't a slave. She was the slave to sin. And he preferred to stay free and take 10 years in the prison. And God protected him from sin in those 10 years to become the great Joseph that our church boasts about on Holy Monday night, or Yosef Apangalos. You know, great example for the youth. Great example for all of us.